How have you not seen this? And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I'm joined by Lindsay Martin.
Hey, how you doing?
And David Gamble.
Hello.
And we just finished watching the Sylvester Stallone sci-fi action masterpiece, Demolition Man. One of my favorite Stallone movies. Just one of my favorite sci-fi action movies, period. It's great. It's funny. It's awesome. Wesley Snipes' best performance easily. Lindsay, how have you not seen this?
I have never heard of it until about a week ago.
All right, that makes sense.
That's the only reason.
Okay. David, how have you not seen this?
Well, I watched a bunch of movies. That wasn't one of them.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Cool. So, all that being said, what did you guys think?
I was surprised. I didn't know it was funny. I didn't know it was a funny movie.
Okay.
It was hilarious.
I enjoyed it almost entirely based on Sylvester Stallone's performance.
Yeah.
And Wesley Snipes, but Stallone was ridiculous compared to all of his other roles. And
he took it so seriously, is what I liked about it.
Yeah.
And I like amazing. Any movie that's set in the past, that was made in the past, that is set in the future.
Yeah.
Because it's, you're like, no, not even close.
Nope.
But the movie was like, if 20 years ago... in 20 years from now, gotten that machine from the fly, and just spat out a setting for a movie. I'd love it.
Yeah, let's talk about the performances first of all. I'm a huge Stallone fan. I love almost every single thing he's in, even Judge Dredd, which is just a real bag of trash. Oh, it's bad. It's
then
so bad.
It.
Oh, it's entertainingly bad though. Like it's definitely it's worth watching. Like, it's fun bad. Of course, I love First Blood. Love The Expendables. I love the first couple Rockies. Like, Tango and Cash, another favorite. But he's so good in this. Like, I feel like this is... And like Lindsay said, it's them taking it seriously. But, like, I also genuinely feel that he has really solid comic timing in this movie, too. Which is a hard sell for a lot of, like, dramatic or... action kind of actors. Like, very few of them can do it well. As well as Wesley Snipes, who was fucking amazing in this movie.
He's very charismatic and lively.
And his haircut is gorgeous.
Yeah,
I really want nothing more than that haircut.
He plays it like if it was a comedian playing that role.
Yeah.
Like, and if Chris Rock played that, or
he
reminded me of Chris Tucker in The Fifth Element.
Ruby Rhodes.
Fuck everybody, let's do this, I don't know.
God, yeah, Wesley Snipes is so badass. Like, and him and Stallone are on such a different level, too, because, like you guys said, like, Stallone is that, like, very stoic, like, very machismo, like, action star. Wesley Snipes is very charismatic, like, he says a lot of funny things. And then also, comparatively, Wesley Snipes is, like, a fucking third-degree black belt. Like, even when this movie was made, because he was doing action movies all the time, but he was genuinely, like, learning martial arts, whereas Stallone...
Always had a gun.
Yeah, always had a gun, and, like, when it came to... Or was boxing. So, like, it's really cool to kind of see those two paired up.
And every single time they shot at each other, they'd take 5 or 6 seconds to say something.
Yes! Oh my god, the quips in this movie.
The lines are so good.
The witty rebukes.
But they just never went without it. And he would have like his gun next to his head, like while he could see him in plain sight.
Yeah.
And say something clever like, fuck you before you die. And then shoot at him and it's like, oh, you missed because you were roughly 5 or 6 seconds too late.
Yeah.
It's the perfect pun with like just kicking their ass.
Yeah. I mean, it's really funny. Like,
I wanted to try and remember the puns so I could talk about
them. There was one
them,
that was like, a chilling, a blast from the past or something like that.
Yeah, and then Stallone just retorts, you should have stayed there.
Yeah.
The best one, I think, is when they're fighting underneath the armory, which is right next to an exhibit in the museum called the Hall of Violence, which, the coolest fucking name for a museum exhibit ever.
The Hall of Violence.
But they end up in what is essentially like a recreation of like an inner city street, either like after a riot or maybe like an earthquake or something. So at one point, Stallone grabs a television set, like a CRT, swings it by the cord, screams, "Hey, look, you're on TV," swinging it around and whacking Wesley Snipes with a gigantic television. And there's, like, this movie is just full of those moments.
It's almost like the verbal equivalent, it reminds me of the old, like, Adam West Batmans.
Yeah.
Where they punch someone and she's like, bam! Yeah.
Pow! Kazam! Yeah.
God, they like they took themselves so seriously, but the dialogue is so ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious.
Like perfect balance.
I have to mention this now before I forget it. I know I told you guys when we were watching it. Daniel Waters, the guy who wrote Heathers, wrote this script, which is insane to me. Like Heathers is like the first dark comedy I remember watching and absolutely falling in love with. But it's basically about like high school cliques and how terrible they are, and it makes fun of teen suicide a lot. And it's so goddamn funny and brilliant and clever.
Look forward to an upcoming podcast.
Oh, Heathers is gonna happen.
Okay.
But yeah, this guy does Heathers, and then he writes this action sci-fi movie that actually, like, to me, this movie is A Brave New World for dummies.
It is, yeah, the Huxley. Yeah. I noticed Huxley.
Lenina Huxley. Yeah. Named after Lenina, a character from Brave New World, and of course Aldous Huxley, the guy who wrote Brave New World.
Which character was she in Brave New World?
That was Sandra Bullock. Lenina was just one of the characters. I've never read Brave New World. I'm just familiar with it.
It's
a portmanteau of a character, and then of course Aldous Huxley, the author of that.
Okay.
And I know we were talking earlier comparisons of like Idiocracy.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's so ridiculous, but it seems like it's a stupid movie that's just, I don't know, thrown together poorly, but you don't realize that it's...
It does have a lot to say.
It's smarter than most movies.
Yeah, it's like the same thing with RoboCop, where it has a lot of commentary, but people are just like, oh, this movie is violent as shit.
Yeah.
And they don't actually, like, look at the cultural critique that it has to offer.
They made a point to show how stupid people will be in the future. It's like the way we watch old movies and we're like...
Yeah.
Wow, they were so stupid in the past. But it's also interesting to be like, wow, we're going to be even dumber in the future.
Which is, I don't even know if that's true. I think it might almost be jealousy for the fact that you're going to be old then and those people are going to be young. And
I know what you mean, exactly.
Because people are, you can watch it, they're always getting smarter. And I even am starting to recognize, I'm like, these younger folk know a lot more than I do about what's going on in the world and how to adapt to it.
But, like, the scene here where they're having sex.
And I'm 23. I'll be 24 in a couple days, but I'm still...
And they put the helmets
on. I'm already upset about it.
Yeah.
We look at it and we go, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, but it's also, it's strangely, when that movie was made in the 90s, it's a pretty accurate statement of what things are becoming now.
Yeah, like, definitely.
It's like her, the fucking...
With the OS and everything. Like, literally, like, there's so many movies, like, you look at, like, a Back to the Future... Or, like, Escape from New York. Like, just all these movies are like, oh, this is what the future's going to be like. Idiocracy and Demolition Man are the closest.
Taco Bell owns the world.
Yeah,
or
Taco Bell is the only restaurant.
They don't remember that.
That's brilliant.
It is. And it's insane brilliant. Because Taco that, Bell has become this, like, juggernaut.
Water feeds plants. They're like, you need, what's
the Brando, which Brando, is like their Gatorade substitute. Idiocracy.
It has electrolytes.
And it's that same kind of stupid shit.
The toilets have Brando in it.
And this movie also, like, it came in the wake, like, it was, like, within a couple of years after, like, the PRMC and, like, the explicit labels on CDs started happening. Right. And it's, like, that idea of restricting explicit content.
Yeah, you cuss and you
get
fined.
And then it becomes, like, kind of the Meek Shall Inherit the Earth thing where it's, like, meat's illegal, salt's illegal, swearing's illegal, cigarettes are illegal,
like,
alcohol's illegal.
I want to be dead anyway because of course you would.
Yeah.
That sounds like a terrible fucking future. It's awful.
And I know people live like that anyway because they're like, you know that does you. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, they choose to be boring and awful.
I have a very good idea of what it does to
me. It's like the irony of trying to protect you from things makes you so much more miserable.
Yeah.
And but I know people that have eaten nothing but cake and whiskey and two packs of cigarettes a day.
But you're also 23.
Still alive.
Yeah.
So they're also 23.
Okay. Yeah. I'm talking about, for some reason, my family just like my genealogy, they don't live that long. But then this one that we're friends with, this guy I knew, he's probably in his 90s still. I don't know if he's alive for sure, but I remember when I was growing up, he literally just drank all day and ate cake and smoked 2 packs of cigarettes. And he's just been alive forever. And no,
he's
one
the
knows
happiest
why.
Person in the world.
Yeah.
He probably is. He also just never worked, really.
He's the happiest person in the world.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the other great things about this movie, too, is I know I was talking with somebody about the South Park movie, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut,
uh-huh.
and how the entire message of that movie is how ridiculous it is that people are offended by, like, language, but they're okay with violence. This is one of the only movies where it's like, no, across the board, none of it is okay. Like, the only place you can get a gun is at a museum. Like, it's like, hey, here's
that
these artifacts. Like, the same way we would look at
good.
A blunderbuss.
They don't just
pick it was like one of the first guns. Yeah, yeah. It's like
across the board. What's a blunderbuss?
A blunderbuss is one of the first guns that was ever made. It was terribly inaccurate. It's just like, it's essentially like just kind of a hideous, like, musket looking type thing.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous, but like, it wasn't accurate. The range was just dog shit. But it's very old, like, one of the first kinds of guns. And it's like, but like, yeah, we could see that in a museum. This is where it was like, oh, hey, like, even the future guns, like, we decided maybe 10 years ago, nah, guns are bad. Put them in a museum.
It's like equal opportunity. It's like, we're liberals and we hate guns. Or like, we're conservatives and we hate sex and swearing. It's just like, no.
Yeah.
Kind of,
we hate
fuck
everything.
All of you. Like, what if...
Yeah. And then, I'm curious...
What if we hated everything together?
Yeah, and then, like, I'm curious, like, on other things. Like, obviously... Like, racial equality is not a problem in the future.
That's
because
what I was wondering
like,
about.
That's
the exact thing I was
There's
about.
A pretty representative, as far as racial goes, but, like, what about gay rights?
That's my first thought.
We literally
like,
never
my
see
very
that.
First thought was, like, what are gay rights like in 2032 for a movie written in 1997?
Yeah.
Now, did you see another black person than Wesley Snipes?
Yes, you saw...
His gang!
Of course.
His
posse
no,
there were a couple others. There was the older guy at the precinct who was the same
right.
helicopter pilot
they
from the very beginning.
If we can mention them all by name, there weren't enough of
Zachary
them.
Lamb was the cop. And then you had
a cop one, so it's okay.
And then you had of course Benjamin Bratt.
There were probably a couple others. I can mention them all by name and you'll know who I'm talking about.
But for the most part, it's completely whitewashed in the future for the most part. Like there is like
And wasn't Sandra Bullock fine?
She was gorgeous. She was beautiful.
Way above any other performance.
She was great
I've ever
and
seen.
She was like, just yeah. She not
her
gonna...
whole, you know, fuck society. I'm gonna try hard at being a rebel. Take this job and shovel it.
Yeah.
Like,
oh
yeah,
god.
Get it, girl.
Her trying
do.
To fit in, like, and impress him is so great.
She did the best job of any of the actors.
Yeah, she was so good
of being someone who was like
naive.
She played
just
her role
taking
perfect.
It, they took it so seriously and it's so absurd.
I love it. She's so fascinated with the past that in her office, like, one of the things to say is, like, oh, look how fixated she is, like, on, you know, like, action culture. There's a Lethal Weapon 3 poster hanging up.
I didn't see that.
Which, one of the worst Lethal Weapons. Like, after the first two, the Lethal Weapons are pretty meh. Like, the first two are really good. Lethal Weapon 3, ridiculous. But also, Lethal Weapon 3, this movie was 94, I want to say.
Yeah.
So, Lethal Weapon 3 would literally, like, have just come out.
Okay.
So, like, that was where I was like, oh, what's this? Put this poster into this other movie that our studio just made.
That character, who's the larger guy with, like, the bleached hair?
Yawning.
Oh, Glenn Shattuck, who played Associate Bob from,
like,
and the guy from Beetlejuice.
Yes, he's like, I feel like he's in a way a metaphor for the whole movie and the fact that he's the character who, like, he knows only, like, one out of every 10 people watching will be watching him and laughing.
Oh, he's sitting in the background.
And getting it and, like, getting why it's funny. Just as, like, with this movie and a theater full of people, like, maybe one in every, like, 10, one in every 5,
yeah.
is gonna be like, I get why this is so ridiculous.
Yeah, God, he's so good. Like, just across the board, everyone is amazing in this movie. Like, the casting's really solid, like, and even when you got, like, some character actors in there, like Bob Gunton, who plays the police chief,
And Jack Black.
Just Jack Black, there. Jack Black for literally like the 10 frames.
He had to pause it and rewind it for us.
Yeah, like I had to freeze frame it because it's seriously, it's less than a second that you see him.
You mean Jack Black's in this? And he's like, no, look.
Yep.
He's a,
pause.
A glorified extra. He's like a moving extra.
You see him long enough to see Sylvester Stallone grab his gun and pull it away. That's yes. Jack Black's contribution to this film. And
damn, he did it well.
Yeah.
He did it perfect.
He saw it. Yeah, the first
can see why he got the rest of his movies.
Yeah, well, the first bigger role that I remember seeing Jack Black in was Mars Attacks. And Mars Attacks was 2 or 3 years after
Natalie Portman was a slightly bigger role, right?
He didn't even win it long.
Yeah, like, he has dialogue. Like,
he does have dialogue.
He plays the brother of one of the only people to survive in Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
And he's also one of the first people killed in
How
Mars Attacks.
How many Oscar-nominated and winners are in Mars Attacks?
In Mars Attacks?
There are a number of them.
Jack Nicholson, yeah, Glenn Close, Michael J. Fox. I don't know awards,
is
but like...
Spacey in
Michael
it?
J. Fox, no, not Spacey. Pierce Brosnan.
Natalie
Sarah Jessica Parker.
It.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, she's like 15, though.
Pam Grier. Martin Short, who fucking kills
Thank
it in that movie.
You for continuing to talk over that, because I just hope that people don't hear what I just said.
Me, like, just shutting down. Natalie Portman, though, and my first reaction is, she's 15.
And then I say, that's the only reason I knew he got excited.
Look, it's better that he goes for Natalie Portman in that than Natalie Portman in The Professional, where she's, like, 11.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
But let's not get hung up on Mars Attacks. That's another conversation for another episode,
maybe.
Yeah.
You got two of the more distractible people in Columbus on your same show at once.
But so back on point, another thing I think is hilarious is how fucking inept the police are in the future. Like, at one point, Rob Schneider, like, in probably the greatest thing he's ever done in his career, has that golden line where, like,
Definitely.
Simon Phoenix is beating the shit out of the cops, and he's sitting, like, back in their dispatch center, and he's like, we're police. We're not trained to deal with this kind of violence. like their approach, like, the guy literally, like, walks up to him, holds his hand in front of him like he's a fucking crossing guard, and is like, stop what you're doing. And then the advice from, like, their little computer system is, say, repeat in a firmer tone and add, or else. And then Wesley Snipes just like, all right, and then just kills every cop. And then Benjamin Bratt tries it later, too. Like, when they're underground, he walks up to Simon Phoenix, and he watched the cop do that earlier, saw it not work in the worst possible way, because the guy got thrown through a fucking plate glass window, and then he fortunately just gets, like, a karate chop and dropped, and then comes back with the rest of the dudes living underground later, looking like the fucking road warrior.
It's very...
I still feel like it has to do with, I just can't see any reason they portray the future like that other than just being like, you know, I'm at my prime and fuck everything that comes after me.
It's almost like technology.
Music is bad now because I'm too old to enjoy it. And it's like, so those people then would write a thing where everyone in the future is stupid and censored and sad. And, you know, that's not how it's going to become.
Yeah, well, I mean, literally, like, there's, like, you see that disparity, because, like, everyone living on the surface, like, has accepted that, like, they're very okay, it's very whitewashed, it's very, like, ideal 50s, like, sitcom, picket fence, all that shit, and then you have everyone with Dennis Leary living underground that are like, hey, we'd rather, you know,
drink
be able to drink
me.
Beer and make out with each other and maybe starve to death instead of, like, just living ridiculously. And eating not even good Taco Bell food.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Exactly.
Like, the plate they put in front of him in Taco Bell is so weird.
Is that like the people who post their CrossFit workouts and
only
eating on Facebook?
What? I hate that.
Well, it's ridiculous, too, because, like,
There's
no...
I cook a lot. I'm scared. I burped just now, and I'm going to
breathe
it while I'm trying to talk. Well, I was like, listen to me. Hang on. All right. So, I cook... I mean, you know, out of all of the qualities I have, I'm a good cook.
Uh-huh.
And I don't post pictures of it to Facebook, because I don't care. If you're not there to taste it, then you can't enjoy it.
No.
That's pretty solid.
Come eat my cooking, if you disagree. Lauren Benkaz is here.
I think one night before an open mic, can we have a family dinner?
A little potluck.
Please.
I support that.
I just think it's funny, because I don't know if you remember, but somebody else in the area... post pictures of his food every night after he cruises.
A certain person who I hosted for tonight.
Oh no, well,
but we're getting right. off topic. Let's I don't want to get inside jokey. Let's talk about this.
Mark Lucas.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Mark Lucas later. Back on topic. Demolition
he's,
Man.
He's a good cook. I saw it.
He's right, a good
moving
cook.
On.
But back to Demolition Man. One of the things that's funny too is like there really is like there's a literal class division because you don't see poverty represented above in the surface world at all. It's all like the Futurama. Subterraneans. Yeah. There's that complete difference. Yeah. And it's not even necessarily a poverty thing. Like, it clearly, like, there's definitely, like, that class difference.
Yes.
But it's, like, the people living poor under the streets chose that.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, everyone else kind of got assimilated into, like, the upper class that lives above ground and has just accepted the shitty...
I'm actually reading Chuck Palahniuk's Haunted.
Uh-huh.
And, Lady Bag Lady, it's a long story, but the rich people in one of the sub-stories are essentially poor is the new rich.
Yeah.
Because they get sick of going to parties where everyone has Rolexes and fancy Lamborghinis and shit.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, you know, once you are all sporting the best thing, it becomes very common.
Yeah.
And they think, and then they essentially start acting with poor people just to escape from people selling them shit all the time.
Yeah.
I went on a complete tangent.
Well, it's very telling of the time. Was this 1994?
94, yeah. It's 94.
It's very telling of the times. It's almost like when you watch, like, the Twilight Zone episodes in, like, the 50s, and they're like, oh, the Russians are after us.
Yeah.
The things that they identify as killers in the future are clearly written by someone in 1994 and not someone in 2014.
Yeah.
Like, she goes, at the point when they're kissing and they're about to have sex, she's like, well, no, that's banned because AIDS killed everyone.
Yeah.
And it's 20 years later and we're like, no, that's not...
Yeah. Well, but then it leads into, like, they solved AIDS and then there's, like, a new strain.
Yeah,
and
there was another, what was like, it called? I don't
it was,
remember.
Like, NRS, and then there was something
NRS.
After that. It was, like... Yeah, like, it was, like, the new AIDS, basically. So, like, that was kind of really interesting.
What were some of the things they had on point about the future?
Schwarzenegger.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger
presidential
Arnold
Schwarzenegger
library.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
is
creepy.
A perfect
because it was
example.
1994, and he didn't run until 2003.
Yeah, it was,
oh,
like,
no,
it was
no,
a
no,
long
no, no.
decade.
Of his time, like,
he was still making movies almost every year
at this
point.
He had not done Jingle All the Way at this point.
Yeah, this
he
was pre-Jingle
even
All the
done
Way.
Jingle All the Way. And what we're wondering, friends, is did he decide to become a governor because
of Demolition
Man? Of his own ambition?
That's
or
true.
Was he
I should
just,
do that.
One day he was watching Demolition Man and he went, fuck yeah. Fuck
it's
yeah.
It's the equivalent
I'm
of
this.
Like the Back to the Future, like Ronald Reagan,
the
actor?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's creepy watching that and us going, oh my god.
Yeah. Well, and then even like Taco Bell, too. Like the Taco Bell thing, like obviously Taco Bell's not the only restaurant. But I feel like they're doing things that no other restaurants are doing.
And it's still a funny... It's not even a cliche funny restaurant. Like,
yeah.
It's
no.
funny.
Yeah.
Like, White Castle wouldn't have been as funny because it's like, yeah, of course, it's a trashy restaurant.
Yeah.
But they were like, that's 20 years ago,
and
they still think the perfect, like, slightly,
dude,
like...
Taco Bell is, like, going to one of those, like, cunty, like... upper crust New York restaurants where, like, you can't get a reservation more than, like, 3 months in advance. There's a piano player.
Everyone
like,
there, like, called their friends ahead of time and planned to go there.
Yeah.
Now, have you heard they're doing breakfast soon?
Yes, I'm familiar. Okay. I'm familiar.
Waffle tacos.
Waffle tacos are a thing.
And breakfast burritos and such.
Does someone come and, like, cuddle with you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Prostitution in the fast food industry is finally breaking
hand
out.
In hand.
Now, it's like the Japanese prostitution. I don't know if you've heard about it, but...
Of course I haven't.
I haven't. No,
you
tell me
you
about
get
it.
About... It's considered the girlfriend experience is what you pay for, but it has nothing to do with sex.
Oh, yeah, I am familiar
now,
with the girlfriend
what they
experience.
Do
I've
is
heard this.
They'll dress up however you want, and then they'll, like, clean out your ears and, like,
however you want. Can you, like
stuff
a,
like that,
like
pop
a,
blackheads on your
an
nose?
An orange unitard, and, like, a.
Will they wear one of my t-shirts and then listen to my band's
you.
Album and tell
they,
me that they think
that
it's really good?
That is a thing that they would do.
Oh, man, I want that. 100%. Can I just move to Japan?
Dinner with my parents?
You can. Nan, or what's your name?
Gran?
Gran.
No, she pops on here all the time. She's a regular guest.
She was meowing, and I was like, Gran, Nan, whatever. What's up?
Something else I need to mention before I forget. The music of the future is commercial jingles.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
And I think...
That's really
good. I think that also kind of ties into that accurately predicting, because, like, you look at 90% of like, mainstream pop music now, and so much of it is, like, disposable. Like, every now and then, like, you'll get something, like, you hear it, and you're like, I think this will have, like, the timelessness of like, some other great pop songs. But then so much of it is...
It's just recyclable.
Yeah, exactly. And that's and they decided, like, music is too inoffensive. Hey, you know what's okay with us? The Armor Hot Dogs theme song. Yeah.
He was just singing it, like, in the...
Yeah, in the car. Yeah. Like,
and here's something like, I learned from that movie. Like, you heard a
Beastie Boys song come on in your car with your friends, and you just started rapping. But they're like, oh, no. And then right before that, it was the plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is, whichever commercial that was.
When did Armor Hot Dogs have a jingle? Because as far as I've been, as long as I've been alive...
Not yet.
No, it's happened. No, they sang it on an episode of The Simpsons.
That's what I'm saying. I believe it happened before, but since I've been alive... Everyone knew those were gross, and you just ate them.
Oh, yeah.
For, I don't know. Look,
if you're eating a hot dog, you know what you're eating.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who made it.
Exactly.
I tried to buy some hot dogs, and I ate one.
Different chefs, same ingredients.
Yup. I mean, and that's the thing, too. There's a lot of garbage products that have really great theme songs.
That's true. McDonald's, for instance, has some phenomenal theme songs.
I'm loving it.
And they have that guy's like, ba da ba ba ba.
And then when they used to have the Moon Man that played the piano, very old, like in the '80s. They also right before Sandra Bullock and John Spartan, Sylvester Stallone's character, go to have sex, the Love Boat theme is played.
Yeah.
So commercials and television show themes.
She was trying to make him feel comfortable from his own.
Yeah, that was their movie.
I know how y'all get down.
We were discussing this last night at the open mic, actually, at Shrunk and Head. If you met, like, the perfect man or woman, whatever you're into for you, like, awesome, and you took them home, and you guys were about to sleep together, and then they put on music, and it was the Law & Order SVU theme song, what would you do? Kamari was like, I still fuck her!
Hell yeah. Kamari knows what's up.
People listen to jingles, and...
You try and go in rhythm with it.
Yeah, that's I've done it a couple of times. When I did it, I listened to like Hot Water Music, which is like hardcore slash emo slash post punk, but like real gravelly, vocaled, angry.
Okay.
And I was like, "Hey, this works. Sex is awesome, and I get to listen to my favorite music, even though it does not fit what is happening at all. Like at least,
doesn't matter.
At least not from a physical. So, but then." You know what? It's a better choice than the fucking Love Boat.
Or Len's Steal My Sunshine.
Oh, God. I almost want to do that just to see if I could. Like, Steal My Sunshine on a loop.
I almost want to do that for a week.
Just listen to
it. Wear it in my head. Do you think you'd go a whole week listening to nothing but Len's Steal My Sunshine?
Oh, God. I have, like...
We'd find out. Maybe I don't think I would make it. Maybe
you listen to it once on the hour, every hour.
Oh, God. That'd be rough.
Can you do that for a week? You just say you're
I even have a hard time having that be my alarm.
This is a social experiment. We're just going to have a different guest do it every week. And then we'll interview them afterwards. Oh, the Aliens episode I did with Justin, we talked about aliens for maybe 15 minutes out of almost an hour.
Okay, good. I was like, we're getting really distracted. I'm sorry.
No. But, and then it's all right, though, because I'm about to read it.
I liked Demolition Man.
I thought it was great. I don't know how I haven't seen this.
Classic gamble save. I'm trying to think of some of the other things that I wanted to hit on, too. The Lady. Three seashells thing, of course, because for whatever reason they don't have toilet paper in the future. What they do have are three seashells by the toilet that you're supposed to use somehow. And it's never explained.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
If you're gonna wash your hands afterwards anyway, then why waste your time with toilet paper?
Makes sense. I also love, too, is like...
everybody.
We have no idea...
Get gross.
If the world outside of California is like this in the future, too.
That's a good point.
Because it takes place in San Angeles, but they explain it's Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and like a couple other like metropolitan California areas that are just merged together after like a great earthquake or something.
Which makes sense.
So yeah, like it's this megalopolis. But Raymond Cocteau, like the guy who came in with like his fucking bullshit Mr. Wilson, like whitewash everything, make everything bland and inoffensive as shit. Like, but like his reach clearly doesn't extend outside of that city because he walks around with the dude from Beetlejuice as like his valet. Like, see, he doesn't have like a detailed bodyguard or anything.
I feel like his whole vibe would have worked in the Midwest, but I don't know if he would have been
in the Bible Belt. He would have killed in the Bible Belt. He would have
killed in the Bible Belt. Now, if
Utah,
they would have been
he
like,
should have gone to Utah.
Yeah exactly. And they're like, Utah. He started out in Utah in the Bible Belt, and then brought it over there.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could just start out in California and take over the whole thing. Like,
you'd have to find a really red state.
Let's censor everything and. And I don't even think Texas would work because they have that whole like Austin vibe going, and you know, like you can try.
If there are
but
more than like 15 gay people in your state, you can't. It
won't
work.
Yep.
Utah.
But it's crazy too because this movie
Utah
it's like
just because they're hiding it and they're afraid for their life to come out.
It's like a reverse dystopia too. Like, I mean, it's not really like bleak. It's not like 1984. Like, it's not like these things are enforced harshly.
Before nobody
it's like,
comes out. They're,
it's like that's
they're
kind of perfect, sorry, but I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, it's like there's no thought police, but if you say fuck, you have to pay a fine. Like that's the difference, and it's so
and
weird.
Yeah, it's funny
that's
because
it's
in this
board.
Instead of being like a repressed society, they're a society where just like none of them do bad. Like they're not repressed because none of them even have that notion. Like,
yeah, like they don't know that they can
just
do things like
you
which
can't
almost
up.
Seems
yeah.
good, and it kind of makes Stallone seem really bad because it's like,
yeah,
well, you know, if they've already achieved this, you know, cussing and kissing and shit is fun, but like, did you notice that everybody doesn't even understand what killing each other is?
Yeah, like he's the outcast. Like,
actually, at this point, this now movie that looking back on it, Stallone was the evil force.
Were there
in this
two
movie.
Villains?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were just two villains, and then we watched which one was the one that won, and then fucked the girl, which also probably ruined society.
And it's funny, too, because like, also when you put it that way, this movie is literally Encino Man with a lot more to say. Because it's like, oh, Stallone gets frozen and then awakes in a completely different era. God, there's, fuck, I lost my train of thought on what I wanted to say. But one of the other things, like, and the whole thing is there's obviously, like, that absolute power corrupts absolutely thing throughout. And for some, like, the guy who makes this, like, Cocteau, he thinks it's a good idea to take someone like Wesley Snipes and try to control him. Like, when he knows full well, like, the destruction, and they have that rehab program too.
It reminds, it reminds me of that Danny Stratton joke that like you go back in time, to kill Hitler, but now Hitler has a time machine.
Yeah, exactly. So like instead, you just bring him to you, and on top of that, like he behaviorally modified him, like put implants, like so he knew kung fu, so he like he knows how to get around in the future in this completely alien era too, and he was like, oh yeah, I can keep this guy under wraps. Like what?
It's interesting. It's like in some ways, like there are these personalities and these people that are too strong to be controlled, and no matter what time you drop them off in, they're gonna do what they came to do.
What is it? It's like it's that classic like kind of Frankenstein thing where like you try to play God and exert control where like control cannot be exerted. Like
you can't.
Wesley Snipes is the fucking raptor from
you
Jurassic
get a monster
Park.
Too big for yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like it's. Oh man, it's so fucking
it's
crazy.
It's extremely interesting watching a movie because this was pretty much exactly 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Set almost exactly 20 years from now.
Yes.
Like we are at the exact
point.
We picked a very good time to watch this movie because this is the very middle point of when it was written and when it's set. And it's very funny to look at the precipice of it because you can look at one end and be like, I could see where the writer is coming from.
Yeah, definitely.
But you can go, I could also see what they're coming at with the future.
Yeah.
But they're totally wrong.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of things, definitely, but, like, there's certainly some things that, like, you can kind of see it starting to cut that way,
too.
Yeah,
like, it's just weird because the whole, like, technology, like, the push screen, like, the pulling the screen down.
Yeah.
It looks exactly like an iPhone, but if you drew an iPhone in 1985, yeah. like, it's just a weird...
Yeah, it's definitely.
Like you kind of have it, but you don't.
It's like, yeah, you're trying to project like that future technology, you drew it too but you're long also ago. Limited yeah. by, yeah. And that's crazy. So, yeah, like how. Like, one of the greatest critiques I've ever read of science fiction is that, like, you look at something like Star Trek, like the series, and that actually made, like. Because, yeah. like, you see, like, them using, like, their transponders. Like, those are cell phones. You see them using all these other things that end up. Being innovations that happened maybe decades later, but now it's like you see a future movie, it's like, oh, they've got like a headset to communicate. It's like,
yeah.
no, like that exists now. Like, what advances have we, why are you?
It's like a child, it's like a child wearing a fake beard.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is what it looks like, but this is what it's gonna look in the future. A child wearing a fake beard yeah, is like the only, like, you're trying to make it up how it's gonna look in the future. But you have no idea.
Yeah. Like, I think Minority Report was probably, like, the last sci-fi movie I can think of that, like, really still was kind of, like, making assumptions about the future, like, in the direction that technology can go. And that's really, like, cause
yeah.
flying cars, who gives a shit? We've seen flying cars done right. to death.
Yeah.
In the event that that ever happens, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
And it's just like hoverboards. Like, who fucking cares about hoverboards?
No.
Like... But like you look at Minority Report, and they've got things like that concussion shotgun that like uses a sound wave to shoot somebody. Like, that's fucking badass. Like, that's a practical weapon application. Like, and that's really interesting to me, as opposed to just like
hoverboards are a practical having fun application.
I understand that, but it's also a lot further away too.
Maybe.
And it's also literally saying, here's this regular thing, except it doesn't have wheels.
The best Hell inventions yeah. are things that no one thought of.
Yeah.
Wheels like, get it's caught like, on
no
stuff.
No one would have thought of I mean, 15 years ago, the idea of a smartphone is... You can't even think of it.
Oh,
like,
I agree.
The
yeah,
best 100%. Inventions are things that no one ever thought of. We've been thinking about flying cars since the 1940s.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
And no one's made one yet. But no one then was like, I bet I can have a tablet in my hand...
Yeah, it does everything.
The reason it makes it a good invention is because no one's ever thought of it.
Well, see, but that's the, like, those kind of things even existed, like, in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, even in Demolition Man, they use it. Like, when the warden goes in to talk to Wesley Snipes for his parole hearing. Yeah, like, he's using, like, a touch screen. Like, he's communicating with Sandra Bullock's character on it. He's, like, checking his appointments for the morning. Like, he's literally using an iPad.
Yeah.
Well over a decade before the iPad was a thing. So, like,
it's
even this movie,
thrilling to watch it
yeah,
as a future person.
Yeah, so, like, this movie was still predicting some things. Not just, like, thematically, like, you know, the idea of, like, what kind of restrictions are going to arise in the future, like, what's going to happen to our culture, but also generally saying, like, hey, here's some technological advances. Some of these might happen. Some of these might not. Like,
yeah.
that tablet, that happened. It exists.
It did a very good job of having, like, the dialogue was so absurd,
mm-hmm.
and the actors played it in a way that was so, they took it so seriously.
Yes, they committed, like, a lot of people.
It was like someone who was like, okay, this is my first acting job, I'm gonna take this ridiculous script super seriously.
Yeah.
And so that's great on its own, but under that there are all these, like, pretty interesting thematic, like, points, and all these, like, things that they're saying. It's
yeah.
like it's very... It has a lot of layers to it, in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, definitely.
And I really like that. And it's... I had no idea it was funny.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. There's definitely one other thing I want to hit. I know we're over time, but I don't care. We can run as long as we want. It's my podcast. Dennis Leary. Literally just doing... Like, essentially extrapolated from his stand-up persona. Like... When I watched this the first time, like, when I was in high school, like, I'd seen, like, some of his stuff on Comedy Central. Like, I'd heard his song, I'm an Asshole. I was like, this is, like, almost every time Dennis Leary is in a movie, it's just Dennis Leary being Dennis
himself,
Leary.
Yeah.
But it actually works in the context of this movie, because he's, like, the voice of that, like, oppressed, like, class, like, that lower culture who's kind of shunned from society.
His stand-up's really angry, and it's
yeah,
just, like...
very angry. Mm-hmm. And it's very, like, oh, fuck these people if they get offended at swearing and all
yeah.
that. And it fits, like...
Yeah.
I've never seen Rescue Me or Here, it's really good, but, like, this genuinely, like, Dennis Leary was such a perfect fit for this role.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to touch on. I know there's a lot of stuff in this movie, and I love talking about it. But I think it's about time to wrap it up. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to add? Anything you wanted to say before we shut it down?
You're trying two so thumbs hard. Up. Two thumbs
I
up.
See the two thumbs turn. Up. Yeah, it's about. I was just four thinking about up. The him being. They were acting like it was such a privilege for him to be released from cryogenically frozen.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
just like, I don't give a fuck. Let me wait till then. Like, how is that even a punishment?
Yeah,
yeah. It reminded me of a much more, a very, very, very subtle Austin Powers in a way. Like it was parodying its own genre.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it wasn't so. Obvious. Like, in Austin Powers, it's like I said before, the actors knew they were playing a stupid character.
Yeah, they were doing it
comedically. In this movie, the actors were playing stupid actors playing a stupid character.
Yeah.
They didn't act like they thought it was stupid for a second.
Yeah, no, they committed. And
they all did
and
so
that's
well.
They played it so seriously.
Yeah, it was very sincere. Like, they're not mugging to the camera. Like, they're not breaking
that's
the fourth
so funny.
Wall.
It was as if they could have just walked up to anybody at, like, you know, a college or whatever, and they're like, what's your screenplay? We're going to act it as if it was our magnum opus of being alive.
Yeah.
We also decided, we forgot to mention this, we said it a lot while we were watching the movie that...
Oh, yes.
they said... So many times during the movie, they said Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We decided that every time anyone in the movie says Demolition Man, they should have to look directly into the camera when
the
they say
Demolition
the right character
Man.
And look directly into the camera.
I've
when
had
they
enough
sing
of this.
Demolition Man.
I know
we
that
have
you're
to
the,
release the
Demolition
Man.
Man.
Demolition Man.
So we're going to remake the movie.
Oh, man.
Just.
It's going to be David Gamble into a camera
seat.
Saying Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Holy
hours. That actually
I'm just going to Photoshop, or I'm going to edit in me, I'm going to edit out them every time they say Demolition Man. I'm going to go, Demolition Man.
I just thought one last thing, and just say, like, this isn't even a good point. The second Lethal Weapon connection in this movie, in the very beginning, after Stallone jumps down onto, like, the warehouse, beats the shit out of Simon Phoenix, carries him out, the police captain yelling at him, is the police captain from the Lethal Weapon movies.
Nah.
Like, that guy, I've only seen that guy in a handful of movies. The majority of them were Lethal Weapon, the other one was this, playing literally, like, the same role. And
he's doing him, man.
Part of me wants to, like, if it weren't for that Lethal Weapon 3 poster in her office later, I would assume that Demolition Man and the Lethal Weapon universes overlapped, but in the Demolition Man universe, Lethal Weapon is a movie.
Of course.
Which is unfortunate.
Because it's in the real world.
Yeah.
In the future.
In the real
Lethal
world.
Lethal Weapon is just a nonsense.
Future.
It's a fairy
we'll see,
tale.
See, 18 years from now.
Yeah.
If the world explodes, the only thing left of our civilization is this tape.
If nobody...
People are going to be so confused.
If nobody is sick of podcasts in another 18 years, let's make an agreement to get together, the three of us, and do an anniversary of this podcast episode.
A War of the Worlds kind of thing.
I'm Dave Gamble, and I was arguably the best person that ever lived. Remember me.
I'm Lindsay Hay.
What's the point?
I'm Dustin Meadows. I'm
she
just
was
a real right. bag of trash.
He was also alright.
Cool. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Demolition Man with me. It's been a blast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Join me next time when I take Mandy Lee through the Rock and Carl Urban video game action movie Doom. Make sure you like the page on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review as we count down to our very first live show on April 22nd at Shadowbox Live with Ghostbusters. Send any questions to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next time.